to come and sit in this chair here in front of the platform. For those of you that don't know, this is my wife. Her name is Katie. I'm not going to get into a bunch of superlatives, but I can say this, and I mean it with everything in my spirit. I tell her this all the time. There's never been a mother that loves her children more than this woman. Her and I have gone to the point of arguing because a dad's love and a mother's love are two different things. They're equally important, but they're almost on opposite ends of spectrum. And I would tell her, you're being too easy on these kids. And it didn't matter what I don't care who told her. She loved her children. She still loves her children. And she's going to yell at me after service because she doesn't have any idea what's about to happen. So, okay, Sister Angel.
all, and I spent all day yesterday trying to make Mother's Day very special for this church, and it means a lot for you guys to do this for me. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, after that, those kids need to go downstairs and get some snack because they're probably worn out from having to come up and down that middle aisle 5 or 6 times. And there they go. I know we've said it several times, but I can't say it enough times. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. We're going to talk about mothers here in just a moment, but I do want to say how much I appreciate all the mothers, all the moms, and we're going to specify some of that this morning. For those of you that no longer have your mom, I understand. I don't care if you're 75 years old. If you have your mom and still have her, hug her neck. Hug her neck. Time has a way of helping you to understand that there are things that are important and things that are not. I'm 51 years old. If my mother was still alive, I would call her and ask her to pray for me because mama's prayers changed heaven. When mom prayed, things happened. Mom believed. Mom had a faith. Mom had a protection. And many of you have that same testimony. We're going to talk about some things today. And I just wanted to let you know, I appreciate you. The church loves you. Happy Mother's Day. I hope you eat whatever you want and as much as you want. I hope you get to take a nap or whatever it is that you're looking forward to and get flowers, get candy, get all those things. I will say I learned, I think it was 3 Christmases ago, as those of you that are members here realize and know, your pastor's the least romantic person that's ever lived. I was just raised that way. I was raised old school. And I was walking through the Eastwood Mall about 3 years ago for Christmas, and I looked and I thought, you know what? My wife would really like that purse. And I looked at the price of that purse, and I was like, oh. I said, a purse is an instrument that's designed to hold a woman's money. But if I pay that much for that purse, there's not going to be money to put into the purse. So I bought it anyway. And I did a complete surprise. And listen, I'm the gift giver that gives it to you right out of the bag from the store. Or I go to the Salvation Army table where they're wrapping and raising money and I have somebody wrap it for me. I don't wrap. I just don't get into that. I'm not like that. And I did for this one, and I'll never forget my wife's reaction. She cried, like literally cried. And she kept that purse specifically. She said, this means so much to me because you thought about me. So I learned very quickly, every Christmas, every Mother's Day, I go find a purse somewhere. So Katie got another purse this year. She got flowers. And to be honest, I couldn't do enough. If it was up to me to raise those 2 boys, they'd be heathens. She created a home. She created an atmosphere where they could be safe. And they know, and I tell them all the time, you better appreciate your mom because your mom loves you more than you'll ever understand. The sad reality is those of us that have lost our mom realize some of those things too late. I was thinking this week, I hope my mom knew how much she meant to me because I didn't tell her as much as I should. So if your mom is still alive or the person that has mothered you and raised you, tell them today. Don't worry about it. Lose your emotions. Cry. Hug them. Let them know that you acknowledge and appreciate what they do because a mother's love is unlike anything else. But let's get into this for sake of time. I know some of you I'm standing between some of you and brunch or a roast beef sandwich, and I'm excited about that as well. So I have a quote that is not theologically accurate at all, but I'm going to use it anyway, and it's pretty weird to use it in a church setting. This is completely inaccurate from a biblical standpoint, but it's a good quote for Mother's Day. It's from Rudyard Kipling, the writer, and he said this, God could not be everywhere. Therefore, he made mothers. God could not be everywhere. Scratch that. Theologically, emotionally, I want you to embrace that. God could not be everywhere, so he went ahead and made mothers. I want to speak to you this morning for a few short moments. The kids are going to come up and do a program after their class. That's why we're doing it a little bit different today. On this thought or topic, God's answer, a mother. God's answer is a mother. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start right at the beginning of the Bible. We're not going to be very scripturally in depth this morning, and I do want to be aware of time, so preach with me as we move forward on this Mother's Day. God's answer, a mother. Genesis 2 and 18, I'm going to read one verse of scripture in your hearing that says this. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Genesis 2 and 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. For those of you that are Bible readers and those of you that are not, if you picked up the Bible today for the very first time and you began reading in the book of Genesis, which is the very first book of the Bible, you would get to the second chapter before you would discover the first problem that arises in the history of humanity. And we just read it. The very first problem, the first chapter of Genesis talks about how God created this and God created that and God created the heavens and the earth and the plants and everything that we see. And God on the seventh day rested because he saw everything that was good. The first issue, the first problem, the first need that arises in humanity, in the history of mankind, God looks down and he sees Adam and he says, it is not good for man to be alone. So ladies, get with me, because I know sometimes you feel like I'm against you. Get with me on this. In the mind of God, the answer to the first problem ever in humanity was a woman. Women are the answer to humanity's problem. What this world needs more now than ever, and I'm talking spiritually, I'm talking naturally, I'm talking economically, I'm talking emotionally, what this world needs now more than ever is not more inspired preaching. It's not spiritual worship. What this world needs now more than ever is mothers. God's answer was a mother. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. You only got to turn one page. God gives Adam the ability and the exceptional opportunity to name all of his creation. All of the animals would pass before Adam and Adam would name them. I often wonder where he came up with the names of giraffe and platypus and those things, but Adam named those animals. But in chapter 3, verse 20, we see this. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. If you don't have your mother today, say this with me. Happy Mother's Day, Eve. She is the mother of all living. God's answer to the first problem was he created a mother, and she became the mother of all living. Now, I'm going to give you a definition, and this is where I want to make a very serious point before we go on. Mother is a noun. And here are three definitions. These are not spiritual. These are from Webster or Oxford's dictionary. The mother that is a noun, the first definition says a woman in relation to her child or children. Very easy to understand. The second definition of the noun mother is a female animal in relation to its offspring. And it's said to write down mother penguin to get you to understand, but I don't like penguins, so I'm going to say mother alligator. Because if there was a mother penguin with her offspring and there was a mother alligator, there would no longer be a mother penguin because the mother alligator would eat the penguin. The last one as a noun is an elderly woman. And that is said in respect as a form of addressing people. Sometimes in church, it just happened with my wife, she is considered the mother of the church. That doesn't mean that she gave biological birth to all of you. It just it's a way to address women, and especially an elderly woman, you call her mother, and it's a show of respect. So we understand those definitions, and there's not too much that we have to expound on those, but I want to focus a little bit of time on mother, the verb, because mother can also be a verb. And when you say mother as a verb or the action of a sentence, it means to bring up a child with care and affection. You mother them. You mother them. Have you ever seen a dad get, like, a dad when he's raising kids? I saw a funny meme on Facebook the other day, and it said, when the father is absent, there's emotional trauma. But it said, when the father is present, there's head trauma. And it showed this little boy, and he was playing with his mom, and she was all soft and gentle with him and holding him and hugging him. And then they showed him cut, and the mom went somewhere, and the dad was playing with him. And the boy came in, and he had a Captain America helmet on. He had two Incredible Hulk gloves on, and he had a Spider-Man or a Batman cape on. And he's running across the room as fast as he can at his dad. And his dad, on purpose, literally waits till he comes running at him, steps out of the way, and the kid runs face first into the wall. Boom! And falls down and gets up, and his dad's like, yeah, do it again. And the boy goes back across the hall, comes running full foot, and does the same exact thing. And it said, when the father's not present in the home, there's emotional trauma. When he is present in the home, there's head trauma. And the mom has to come home and take him to the hospital because he has a concussion. But when you talk about mothering in a verb sense, mothers just seem to be gentle. They seem to be kind. They seem to be protective. They do the things that the father doesn't. The mother is always saying this, no, don't do that. You get a swimming pool and your kids are little. The mother wants to have floaties on them. The mothers are the ones that put the bike helmet on and the knee pads and the elbow pads and wonder why it takes a kid till they're 16 years old to learn how to ride a bike. It's because they can't move. You got too much stuff on them. The dad's the one that says, let's take the training wheels off and do wheelies. There's a difference in that. But mothering is bringing up a child with care and affection. The second definition says to look after someone kindly and protectively, sometimes excessively so. Anybody ever have an overbearing mother? Don't raise your hand. It's Mother's Day. You're supposed to be nice. Anybody ever have a mom that was overprotective? Why is everybody's face looking at me strange? Because you all want to say something, but you can't. It's Mother's Day. Be kind. But mothering is rooted in kindness and protection. Now, I've heard it said, and I have to take their word for it because I don't know looking at me if you don't understand this. I'm not a mother. I've never given birth. I don't want to. I was in the birthing room twice and barely survived. The women think they have it hard. It was harder on me. I passed out. My oldest, when he was born, I'm not joking. He came out. I looked. I thought he was pretty much healthy. I turned around. My emotions hit me, and I hit the floor. I was done. Katie just did all that work, pushed the baby out, did the whole thing, and I'm laying on the bathroom floor in Trumbull Memorial Hospital, crying emotionally, sick to my stomach, and can't get control of myself. I'm like, you look like I crawled out of the bathroom floor on my hands and knees to try to hide from Katie and went over and sat down and had to get my wits about me. I was sick. So I've never given birth. But women will tell you, because I say this and I mean it, if men gave birth, I've witnessed birth, I've never experienced birth. If men gave birth, every family, there's not one exception, every family in the world would have one child. Because I'm never doing that again. But a mother's love can kind of forget all of that pain that's replaced by the feeling that she has for those children. And they'll just volunteer to go through it again. Men would be like, that's it. But that's a woman or a mother's love. Now, I want to say something, because having said all that, I know living in the society that we live in, living in 2026, and the things that have happened in families and family dynamics, that some people on this day have a different feeling about mothers. So I want to be very plain about this, and I wrote this down. Being a mother is not always about biology. Motherhood is not always dictated by blood relation. Motherhood is God's answer to humanity's first issue, and when carried out God's way, it brings a love and a protection like nothing else in the world. But if you don't get anything else I say today, I want you to get these next couple sentences. Some of the best mothers in this place and in society have never biologically given birth. Technically, they are aunts or aunts. I don't want you to think that I mean the bug. They're sisters. They're grandmas. They're cousins. They're neighbors. What I think most importantly and what needs to be celebrated on Mother's Day are those women that have chosen to raise someone else's biological children as their own. That is no less of a mother than someone who has been able to biologically give birth to their own children. I need you to hear that. Being a mother is not always about biology. It's not always about blood relation. I know several individuals raised by ladies that did not give physical birth to them, and those ladies are even more of a mother than someone who could and not raise them. If you have a lady, woman, whatever you call her in your life that has chosen to be in your life, you ought to hug them every single day, because the love of a mother is God's answer to humanity's problems. There's an old song that says, where would we be without the love of a mother? I'm going to tell you right now, we'd be in really, really bad shape. Let me tell you a little bit about the heart of a mother from a biblical perspective. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Now, I was going to go in a different direction this morning. How many of you know the story of Rizpah in the Bible? I wanted to teach on that, but I thought that that would be a little bit too deep from a sentimental standpoint, so I went in a different direction. But Luke chapter 2, when you have that, you can say amen. If you don't have your Bibles with you, it will be up on the screens. This is probably the woman that we would call the most famous mother in the Bible. How many of you would like to give birth to God? That would kind of put you on notice as a mom. You really got to be on your P's and Q's when you give birth to Jesus. But this was Mary's heart. Luke chapter 2, verse 17 says this. It says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. This is speaking on the night when the shepherds came and found the newborn Jesus. It says, when they, being the shepherds, had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19, but Mary, now keep in mind, most Bible historians believe that Mary was somewhere between the ages of about 13 and 18 years old. She's a child herself, in modern day terms. So let's just split the difference. Let's say she's 16 years old. And what has she just heard? What are the things that the shepherds were saying? The shepherds were saying what they had just seen in the fields. Suddenly, there came the whole host of heaven and told them, go into Bethlehem, because he that is born is going to be king of the Jews. And the shepherds come with haste, and they find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. They begin to tell of the things that they've heard. And here's this 16-year-old girl, and I'm just saying that on average. I don't have definite dates, who has just given birth. And the Bible says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let me tell you probably the strongest thing on earth. It's not titanium. It's not steel. It's not concrete. The strongest thing that I know of from my experience is a mother's heart. It gets broken all the time. And yet still, through that brokenness, is still able to love in a way that no other relationship can. I know there was times my mom looked at me, and what she wanted to do is not what she did. Because what she wanted to do was grab something like when I was young and lay into me. But what she did was just love and protect. I know there were times that my mother thought that I was dead wrong in what I was doing. And yet when the enemy would come against me, she would protect me from that as a mother. And I appreciate that. Mary's heart was the same way. Here's this young girl. Imagine what she's going through mentally. She's been visited by an angel who told her, this babe that's conceived in you is conceived of the Holy Ghost. She's never known a man in the biblical sense. She is a virgin. She gives birth to a child. And on the night of her birth, shepherds show up and say exactly what the angel said unto her, and she's processing this as a 16-year-old, and what the Bible says is she heard all these things and kept them in her heart and pondered them. That's what a mother can do. And again, mother is not always one that gives birth biologically. But let's read what the Bible says in general about mothers. Turn with me. All right, I'm going to say this. Here's a little quiz. Whoever can yell it out first, you get an extra flower in your bouquet. This is just for the ladies, so all you men, be quiet. I'm going to turn to the most pro-woman, women are the greatest chapter in the Bible. Can anybody tell me where we're going to turn? Some women don't know how to raise their hands. But that is correct. She said Proverbs 31. How many women today strive to be a Proverbs 31 woman? Not many. My wife went to a ladies' conference one time as you're turning. And she came home and she said the lady that was speaking at the ladies' conference said that a Proverbs 31 woman in completion is impossible. It's not possible to be one. But I'm going to read a few verses. Proverbs 31, let's start reading at verse 26, what the Bible says about ladies or mothers. It says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. What a beautiful picture of a mother. It says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. Now, I don't understand this dynamic, but I've lived this dynamic. My wife is the oldest sibling on her side of the family, and there are five girls. No. Four. There's four daughters and one son on that side of the family. and my wife is the oldest. And I have lived through the dynamic of mothers and daughters. Okay, why did I start getting laughter? Because I want to talk about it for a little bit. Mothers and sons and mothers and daughters are different. Now, it's Mother's Day, and I don't want to get anybody in any trouble. How many mothers here, without a show of hands, just think this in your mind, who have had a daughter and a son, would say this: boys are easier. Don't raise your hand. Don't. I don't want you to get in trouble. Kim, learn how to follow instructions. We have ladies yelling amen in the back. There's a different dynamic between the mother and the daughter, and I've lived it. But I can say this. My wife turned 50 years old last year. My wife is a college graduate. My wife is a very intelligent woman. My wife is a very hard worker. My wife is a great leader. She's a great mother. My wife, if I didn't complain about it, every day would call her mother. And they talk for hours about nothing. Like literally, I walk through the house. If I come home and my wife's already home, I can rest assured her phone is on the counter on speaker. She'll walk in a whole different room and yell back in. And I'll look down, I'll pick the phone up, and I'll look, and I'll be like, you've been on the phone for 2 hours? If you added up every word I ever said to my dad in my whole life, it wouldn't be 2 hours. But she would do that every day. And she tells me, as I get older, I need my mom more. There's just something about talking to her. We're going down there today. It's difficult to watch your parents age. Can I be serious with you for a few moments? It's difficult to watch the people that loved you and protected you and raised you now need you to protect them and raise them. Listen, these are difficult conversations that families have to have. Mom, you got to give me your keys. I sell homes for a living, and I take families into homes all the time. And the children will pull me aside and say, I know Mom likes this house, but she can't buy it. And I say, why not? There's too many steps. Mom's starting to, we need to find something on one floor. So as an agent, I have to find the polite, anonymous way of talking the mother out of the house that she wants, because her children are concerned that if she falls, she's not just going to jump back up and bounce back up. It could be a broken hip. It could be. There's a dynamic with mothers that we think we grow out of. We as the offspring think we can get to this point. Boys think it's 18. I'm going to turn 18. I'm splitting this coop. And I'm going to make my own rules. I'm going to do what I want. And then by 19, you're out in that coop. And you're like, man, I would love a home-cooked meal. I would love it. Ramen noodles are getting old real fast. And the point I want to make is as you get older, you need your mother more. You think that you don't. How many have ever said this? How many have ever said this lie? I've said it. I've lied as your pastor. I don't need that. I'm grown. I'm a grown man. I'm not as grown as you think I am. There are times today, there are times in my walk with God in the near past and in the near future where I would give anything to just be able to drive to 46 West Federal Street, walk in, and just be my mother's son. Not Pastor Mike, not Brother Mike, not Realtor Mike, just walk in, close that little door behind us in that little shotgun house that probably wasn't 1,000 square feet, and we raised 7 people in it, and just be able to be Mike, because nobody loved Mike like my mom. You need it more as you get older, and I'm going to prove that to you spiritually. I'm not going to go to Proverbs 1, but I'm going to go to Isaiah 66 and 13. It says this, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you and shall be comforted in Jerusalem. The Lord says to Isaiah in Isaiah 66, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you and shall be comforted in Jerusalem. The Lord's comfort or compassion is described as the compassion of a mother. So I want to recap some things that we've talked about. Here's some words that are synonymous with mother: love, protection, heart, affection. The law of kindness is in her mouth. You ever, even though, like, even when your mom's telling you off, she can do it kindly. Like, you don't even realize that you got told off till you get in the car, and she's like, wow, she really told me my business, but it was kindness. She has a law of kindness in her mouth. There's comfort, hard work. I didn't get into that, but let me say that 2 minutes. Proverbs 31 says that a woman is not idle with her hands. Uh-oh, I'm going to get myself in trouble on Mother's Day, but I'm going to say it anyway. Mothers take care of the house. Amen, Brother Mike. Here we go. You couldn't get through it. You had us right there. You were being so kind. You had flowers, snacks, the whole deal. The Bible talks about the Proverbs 31 woman and how everybody rises up and calls her blessed, and her name is above rubies, and all of them benefits come, but it says she's not idle with her hands. She's a hard worker. She's not always needing to be served. In fact, mothers are wanting to serve others. It says she rises before her house. She goes to bed after her house. Can I get an amen from some of the moms that are doing it God's way? Okay, let's move on. I want to be kind the rest of the time. God's design for motherhood. God's answer to our first prayer is a mother. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. This is where we're going to end, and then we're going to have the children come up. They have a special presentation for you, and then we'll dismiss in prayer, and you can get your pictures taken, and I do want you to take bouquets of flowers. My wife is so excited about that thing. She sent me pictures all day yesterday. She drove around. She was in Jefferson, she was in Boardman, she was in Niles, she came home. She's like, I don't think we have enough. So last night after dark in that storm, she's out driving around trying to get more flowers. So please have a few moments. I'm going to cut out early so you can take a few moments and enjoy that memory making out in the fellowship hall. But when I start to read this, everybody's going to get mad at me. But I want to make a point, and this is what we're going to finish up with. Ephesians 5 and 25, the Bible says this: husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, and nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Stop right there, Brother Carl. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church at Ephesus, and they had some marriage issues. They had some things going on with some of the married couples in their church, so Paul writes a letter to them, instructing them in what God's design for marriage is. And he tells husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I started specifically on verse 25 and not 24 because it's Mother's Day. Because in verse 24 it says, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. That's not a very good Mother's Day scripture, so I didn't read that one. But Paul goes and starts telling the church, he said, husbands need to do this. Husbands need to do this. Husbands need to love their wives, and husbands need to do this, and husbands need to do that. And you're saying, Brother Mike, what are you telling us all that on Mother's Day for? We're supposed to be talking about mothers. Do you realize that spiritually, I'm not talking naturally, I'm talking about in your spiritual walk with God. How many of you have a mother or someone in your life that you call your mother? Could be an aunt, could be a grandmother, could be a cousin, could be someone that is motherly to you. How many of you are motherly to certain people that are not biologically your children? My wife is. I have a spiritually adopted son. Some of you have met him. He's literally an idiot. He was my son's friend. He met my son at my son's job. He got the Holy Ghost. He came to me. His father was in prison. He'd lived with his grandmother. He had no upbringing whatsoever. He's 18 years old, and he had no structure in his life at all. And he came to me, seriously. He's bigger than me. He's about 6'3". He's about 300 pounds. He's probably about 320 now because he's also fat. And I have to tell him that because he won't quit eating. But he came to me and he said, I want you to be my dad. And I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. He said, I want you to get me where Ryan and Mikey are. Because he saw my sons graduating from college with no debt from being used in the gospel, both on their way to being licensed ministers doing those things. And he said, I want that. I said, well, I'm going to tell you what I've got to do is I've got to cram 18 years of training into you in about 6 months. So I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to scream at you. I'm going to call your bluff. You're not going to BS me. I'm going to tell you exactly how it is. And he stays there right through it. We were at church camp, and him and I got, I'm talking, that's the closest I came to beating up an adult. We were in a restaurant after church, and he started with his mouth, and I started going back. The whole family was there, and Katie was like, be quiet. I was screaming at him across the table. But I understand the feeling or the burden to help others. And we have many women in this place that do just that. Those aren't your kids. They're legally not your kids. The law could come take them off of you. But because of the love that you have inside of you, you try to mother them. You try to guide them because you know how hard it is. You realize how hard it is for a kid to end up decent at 18 with a mother and a father and a strong family unit and all those things in place and a community of believers. It's still difficult for them. If you don't believe me, I heard yesterday. He's not apostolic, but he's a pastor of a mega church in Tennessee. And his 20-year-old son yesterday overdosed and died. He's preaching this morning. There's a need. There is a need in this world. We talk about the need all the time. We talk about the issue all the time. We talk about the problem all the time. We never talk about the solution. But just like the old days, God's answer to the very first problem in Scripture was he created a mother. It's what we need now more than ever. Flip to the next verse, Brother Carl. This is what we're reading. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and his church. We're talking about husbands do this and husbands do that and husbands love this and husbands love their wife. But the scripture says this is a great mystery. I'm not speaking about the marriage relationship at all. What I'm speaking about is the relationship between Christ and his church. Spiritually, every one of you has a mother, and your mother is the church. So I don't want to talk to people that want to join the church. I want to talk to the people that are the mother. Can we love our offspring the way our mother loved us? Let me read these adjectives to you again that we talked about motherhood. And when I was talking about it naturally, everybody was on my side. Love. Can we love the lost? Can we protect them even when they're wrong? Can we have affection to them? When we speak to them, do we speak to the lost with the law of kindness in our mouth? Or are we always criticizing? Are we always downtrodden? Are we always speaking against the things that they do? Or do we have a law of kindness? Are we idle? Are we just okay with being saved and we're not concerned about anything else, so we're not working at anything? We come to church to get. We come to church to receive our blessing. But the Bible says that the mother, the wife, is supposed to rise up early. She's supposed to go to bed late. Her hands are not idle. We're supposed to be about our Father's business, doing what He's called us to do. We are supposed to do it with a sincere heart, with love in our hearts for the lost. I don't want a show of hands, but I want to speak to some people, because there's some mothers in here that love their kids with all that they have, and their kids aren't where they need to be. If we're going to grow as a church, we are going to have to willingly volunteer for the hurt. On a day like Mother's Day, it's great because we get the flowers and we get the little thing with the handprint that they turn into a flower, and all the moms keep it, and the dads are like, throw that stupid stuff away, and you pull out your kids' art craft that they made in 1971, and there's glitter all over the inside of your shelves and stuff, but it means something to you. We love those kind of things. But what the church needs to start to embrace is we need to start to embrace the nights of sitting in the hospital, of going to the rehab facility and being the only person there that individual has to fight for them, even though they're not biologically ours. We have no legal responsibility whatsoever. We could walk away right now and be justified, but something deep down in the heart of a mother says, they need me. God's answer is still a mother. But are we willing to decide today to say, I'm going to be the world's mom. I'm going to love them when nobody else loves them. I'm going to be there when everybody else walks away, before they bow before us, before they get saved, before they figure it all out. Kids, if you ever wonder what Sunday school is so loud, that's why. He sounds like he's coming through the floor. I probably will one of these days. God's answer to today's issues and problems is a spiritual mother. When's the last time the church just wept before God because of where their children are? When's the last time the church just said, when's the last time the church stayed up all night while the dad was snoring, sawing logs? How can he be like that? How can he just not care? I know I'm talking to some mothers that have walked the floor all night long. The discussion when they call home and talk to dad is 2 minutes. Straighten up. But mom worries about it. Mom can't sleep. Mom can't eat. Mom can't understand. Mom's got to figure out a way. She's got to go against dad sometimes. Dad's like, cut him off. And the mom says, no, that's my child. Where is the spiritual mother today? Where are we today? We've got so many we could adopt. We ain't got to go far away. We don't have to go overseas. We don't have to do some international adoption. There's people that live on Shepherd Road that need a spiritual mother, and we are here, but do they know that we care? You got a mom today. You need to hug her up. You need to take her somewhere expensive, and you need to let her order whatever she wants. And you take your time while she eats. And don't you laugh when she spills something on her shirt. I know, because my wife's grandmother, she used to get mad at me because every time we'd eat, she'd spill something on herself, and I'd laugh. And if there's anything that my wife inherited from her mother's side, if we're eating, my wife is going to spill it on herself. That's why we have so many clothes. Okay, you think I'm joking? I got all your phone. I'll text you tonight. We are going to my mother-in-law's to eat dinner, and she's ordering some good food. I guarantee, I'll say it with, I'm not 100%, because God could strike me dead. I'm 99.99775% sure my wife is spilling something on herself today. And if she does, and I'm able, I will get a picture with my phone, and I will group text it to all of you. Happy Mother's Day. Let me close on this. God's plan has never changed, and it never will. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. God's design from the moment of creation was that the answer to society's problems was going to be the creation of a mother. That's why when Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus looked right at him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The answer to the problems of the world are the church needs to rise up and be the mother that they were created to be. We're doing good in this church. We're going in a direction that I'm excited about, and I'm starting to see the results, and I'm pretty confident in just my mind that we're getting real close. The last 3 weeks in a row, we've broken our attendance, and I think we're real close to breaking it again today. We broke it again today, and we're going to break it next week. You know why? Because there's a clarion call that's going out into the community of Ashtabula that there's a place for you here. There is a place for you here. Before you figure it out, while your life is in a turmoil, come find Jesus. Come find him. He's here, and we'll be patient with you. How many of you mothers with estranged children, if you've somehow got a phone call today, wouldn't just say, you know what? Let's let bygones be bygones. Just come home. Just come home. I'm speaking to you right now. Backsliders that are watching this online, it's time to come home. How's that for an intro, kids? I'm done. We're not going to have an altar service this morning. Let me close on this, and I'm being dead serious. I love every one of you, and I know you love me too. And I'm one of them kids that's hard to love. My dad didn't love me. My mom did. My dad would say stuff like, that kid needs a stake tied around his neck to get the dog to play with him. I'm not much to look at, never have been, and every year I get bigger this way and this way. People laugh about the circumference of my head. They make comments about how shiny it is. It's just going to get shinier because God's glory is just going to descend on me. That's not true at all. It's just I'm fat and I sweat a lot. If you're a mom, Take advantage. Enjoy it today. Eat it up. As a matter of fact, milk it for everything it's worth and tell them they got to take you out tomorrow too. If you have a mom, and I don't mean biologically, I mean if there's someone in your life that has spoken into your life, that was there when other people weren't there, that chose to step up when they didn't have to. My mom would always tell me, I'd say, "Mom, how will I know if I'm a success?" She said, "Son, if you become half the man your dad was, you'll be a success." You think I'm joking? I think about that every day. I don't care if my kids think I'm gorgeous. I don't care if they think Dad's successful in real estate. But all I want to know is that when I lay in that pine box in the front of a church, I want my kids to be able to say, "He was a good dad." I don't care if we ever grow to be 15,000. I don't care if our worship team becomes world renowned. I don't care if we build a new building. I don't care if we expand the walls. I don't care if we have conference here. I don't care if we can get big name evangelists to come into this place. What I want people to be able to say is when they leave this world, they say, "That church was a good mother to me. They loved me and got me where I needed to be." We stand between heaven and hell and society, and God has called us to be the answer in this world, a spiritual mother. Thank you for your attention. Enjoy it. Spoil your moms today. Let them eat whatever they want. Calories don't count on Mother's Day.